As I mentioned earlier, the title of our message today is, Did God Hide Himself? And as you're turning to Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, I want to introduce it by quoting a philosopher and a scientist. The agnostic philosopher Bertrand Russell was asked. Of course, he wrote works on the non-existence of God and so forth. And he was asked, what would happen if you die and immediately find yourself before God? What would you say? And he responded, not enough evidence. Not enough evidence. And then more recently, the renowned atheist Richard Dawkins, one of the foremost experts on evolution, was interviewed by Ben Stein in a film called Expelled. And he was asked, what if after you die, you ran into God? And he asked you, what have you been doing, Richard? And he answered by paraphrasing Bertrand Russell. And he would say, sir, why did you take such pain to hide yourself from me? Are these arguments valid? Will God accept their excuse? I want to try to answer this question. And we will take our answer out of Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I want to consider eight things today as we attempt to answer this question. Is the argument of Bertrand Russell and Richard Hawkins legitimate? Can they use the excuse, why did you hide yourself from me? You never revealed yourself to me. We begin, first of all, with verse 18. God's wrath revealed. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. For the wrath of God, we're told, is revealed from heaven. That is, God's judgment against sin. God's righteous moral character is revealed from heaven. And that man as a sinner is under God's wrath. And that's revealed from heaven, we're told. Apokalyptai is the Greek. And it's placed first in the original language. It's placed emphatically in front of the sentence. Revealed and disclosed to man, beyond all question, is God's wrath and judgment. A clear statement. And how is this? How can this be? And then Paul will go on, the Apostle Paul who wrote this epistle, will go on to say what man does with this knowledge of God. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And here he characterizes them as who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now that word for hold means to suppress. Katekanton, kata, down, echo to hold. To hold down this truth. The unbeliever, has a knowledge of God, he understands that he is under the wrath of God, that he's guilty before God, and he must suppress that reality. Because if he doesn't suppress it, if he doesn't hold it down, if he doesn't deny it, what's the alternative? There is a Creator who he is accountable to. And that he stands face to face with his Creator. And God is a righteous God. And God judges sins, and he's accountable for his sin. So he has a motivation by the very depravity of his heart to hold this truth down. But here the sense is, this wrath is revealed. And it's emphatically revealed from heaven. And all men know this truth about God. And to say something like, you haven't revealed yourself, is a lie. It is self-deception because you want to believe that because you don't want to be face-to-face with God. But you're face-to-face with God every day. And the heavens scream out of His reality. And you have to suppress it. And the whole rest of Romans 1 is what man does, reacts against this knowledge of God, suppressing this knowledge. It's very important here, too, that in this word for revealed, there is a passive voice. In other words, this is God revealing to man. God is the revealer. Man is the recipient. And this revelation is continually being revealed. Present tense in the original language. God is continually revealing Himself to man in His moral character. That sin is an offense against a holy and righteous God. And it must be judged. And man is accountable for it. Have you ever told somebody, you've dealt with the reality of God and justifying your Christian faith, and it comes down to just Him not believing what you say? Have you ever said, you know you are a sinner, God's revealed it to you, and you know you're accountable before God? I've told people this. And most of the time, they say, yeah, you're right. You're right. Man naturally knows he's a sinner against God. That's part of the revelation of God. All men have this revelation. But man wants to continually suppress this truth. The sense of the word here is present tense again, habitually suppressing this reality. He has to hold it down. Otherwise, he's accountable before God. And he's going to do all he can to deny it. Yet, despite all the denials, God continues to reveal his righteous character to man. Well, I want to, in the second place, look at verse 19. The internal revelation of God. Paul says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in Him. Now underline those two words, in Him, in your Bibles. That's very critical. God gives us a revelation within our very heart and soul. He reveals Himself in us. We are created in the image and likeness of God. And God has made us a morally rational creature. And as such, we all have a sense of deity that is within us, placed in there by God by virtue of being a human being. We are made in the image and likeness of God. And God has revealed Himself in us, in our minds and in our hearts, in the very constitution of our nature. And it's not a nebulous knowledge. It's not something foggy or hazy to us. It's a clear knowledge. It's manifest in them, the Apostle Paul says. Man cannot charge God from hiding himself from them. Man possesses this knowledge of God by virtue of being created as an image bearer of God. This knowledge is innate. It's intuitive. There's a sense of deity in every person that's been implanted by God. It's been revealed in man, in them. And man is enabled by this sense of deity to morally apprehend all the manifestations of God in His work in creation. See, the issue is not, why have you not shown yourself to me? The issue is that God shows Himself with indisputable evidence every day to man. The heavens declare His glory. The issue is man's heart. He's wicked, he's a sinner, and he's going to hold that down. He's not going to admit to it. And his whole life is holding it down. It's like a basketball shoved down underwater. Keeps on coming up, and you've got to hold it down. You don't want it to come up. But it's there. It's inescapable. You can run as far as you can, but you cannot escape from this reality. Man understands the moral character of God and the judgment of God against sin. But if Paul is true in this passage, we can expect man to totally deny it, totally suppress this truth. But yet the image of God is there, and he cannot escape it. And then in the third place, we consider a creature-creator distinction. Paul says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world. He takes us back to creation. These things are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. He is asserting the absolute reality of a creator. God's general revelation of Himself is embedded within us. From the creation of the world presupposes the eternality of God. It presupposes God's existence prior to creation. It presupposes His absolute independence of His creation, and that all of creation is dependent upon God. All knowledge derives from God. He's defined everything in creation, and true knowledge is to give the same meaning to this created world as God has given it. God owns everything in creation. And we were created to serve Him and to glorify Him. And this world and our existence is here for one purpose, to glorify God. And God will be glorified in the saving of His elect, and in the righteous judgment of the damned. God will be glorified. Well, fourth, I want you to consider now the external revelation of God. In the same verse, verse 20, for the invisible things of God, of Him from the creation of the world, that is of God, now look at this, are clearly seen. The invisible existence of God, His nature and character, and His moral ethic is clearly seen. Clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made. What are the invisible things that we clearly see? And we're told here, but they are the things that are made. Even His eternal power and Godhead. And this word Godhead means His divinity, His attributes. And not only the attributes of His power and eternality, of His omniscience and omnipotence, but the attributes of His moral character, His holiness
and His righteousness and His justice. Man sees that. It's clearly seen. And deny it as he may, he knows it's true. And it's embedded in his heart, and he can't run from it. And so his whole life is spent holding it down, running from this reality.
God does not just reveal His existence. He reveals to us His nature and character. And this is a revelation to all men. The invisible things are clearly seen. It has reference to be looking down upon something like a bird's eye vision. It is thoroughly understood. Man has a full comprehension of these things. Being understood by the things that are made. That explains how the invisible things are understood. Somewhat of a paradox, is it not? The invisible things being clearly seen. How is that possible? It's possible by that internal witness of God. That God has this immediate man has this immediate apprehension of the things that are made. He understands intuitively. The word is noumena. It means a perceived understanding, something that's instinctive. He sees. I mean, you look at the glory of the heavens and the stars, and you instinctively know and understand the Creator by it. Who are these scientists fooling? Trying to deny God. It's nothing but rebellion against God and His clear witness to man. Paul says that the invisible things are clearly seen, and he goes on to say, being understood by the things that are made. Paul's reinforcing what he just said in the previous verse about this being manifest in them. Man clearly sees the unseen. And moreover, these verbs for clearly seen and being understood, present tense denoting that they continually see it. They see it every day. There's not a day goes by that man doesn't see the witness of God. What kind of foolishness is Richard Dawkins? Who is he fooling with? You think he's fooling God? You didn't show yourself to me. How could I be responsible? The heavens and declare the glory of God, and they scream out. It's your own wicked heart that you don't turn to God. Well, fifthly, I want to look at God's moral character. We've already looked at how His moral character is revealed in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of truth, or of men. But there are other verses, as Paul develops his argument, that show that this revelation is not just the existence of God. This revelation is God's moral character. I want you to jump down to verse 32. And I want you to see something here as Paul goes through how man holds down this truth. And then in verse 32, as he considers the way that they have held down this truth in immorality and all kinds of wickedness, he says, who? These ones, knowing the judgment of God. That word for knowing, epignosko, is a full knowledge of God. These ones who know the judgment of God. They have a full understanding of the judgment of God. He's speaking of the wicked, of every unbeliever. that they which commit such things are worthy of death, that every man knows he's worthy of death, and he knows the judgment of God, but it gets worse than that. That they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They not only suppress the truth by doing all this immorality, they love those that do it the same way. Seems to justify their behavior. This is the very essence of the movie theater. Why is it that people, this is such a billion-dollar industry? Because men love to see other men sin, just like they do. That shows the depravity of the heart, that man's in bondage to his sin. And continual rebellion against God. It's very interesting. If you turn over to chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, Paul describes the Gentiles. And he said, "For the Gentiles which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. These having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and the thoughts of men, the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another." The works of the law are written in the heart of every person. That's because we're created in the image and likeness of God. Why do you have a moral conscience that tells you that's right and that's wrong? Because God's law is the works of God's law are written in the heart. It's the image of God that He's created you. All man was created to serve God. He was created to be in fellowship with God. And man fell from that in his rebellion to be autonomous. To be a law unto himself. And that's what you end up. If you suppress God in this sure knowledge and certain knowledge of God, you become a law unto yourself. But you can't run. You can't run from the law written in your heart. You know your conscience. And although it's depraved, I know. But the risings up of the law of God there tells you, this is right and this is wrong and God will judge me for this. You can't escape it. No person can escape the witness of God. Every human being has a sense of deity where he understands the judgment of God. He understands the wrath of God. And he understands he's worthy of death. And that's where God brings all of us to fess that up before Him. To admit, to let go of rebelling against this, to let go of holding it down. And admit, I'm a sinner. I'm in bondage to sin. And that's all I can do is sin. God, save me from this bondage. The sense of deity is inscribed within the heart of man. It's indelibly inscribed there. It cannot be erased. It cannot be eradicated. It is there your whole life. And you have to deal with it. Because God is revealing Himself to you every day. In the sixth place, verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful." Here is a clear statement. Because that when they knew God, an explicit statement saying how all unbelievers, every man knows God. Paul asserts this. It's undisputable. If you believe in the absolute authority of the Word of God, that this is the Word of God, inspired of God and infallible, and it comes to man with all authority, that all men know God. whether they admit it or not. It doesn't change anything. And they don't have an excuse. If you look at the end of verse 21, they are without excuse before God because this revelation is so clear and so obvious. They are without excuse before God. They have no defense. You haven't disclosed yourself to me, Lord. You haven't revealed yourself to me. Why did you hide yourself? You see what a bunch of poppycock that is? I don't know what to call it. Hogwash. That's a statement of man's wicked heart denying a reality he lives in every day. I want to consider in the seventh place the noetic effects of sin. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, having this, every man having this knowledge of God. What does he do with it? Rather than be thankful to God, rather than glorify God and show Him gratitude and show Him homage, what does man do? He becomes vain in his imaginations. He's got to suppress it. Vain is futility. Imaginations is reasoning. He becomes futile in his reasoning because he's got to suppress this knowledge. He's got to rationalize it somehow. And he becomes futile in his reasoning. And his foolish heart was darkened, covered with darkness. His whole heart is covered with darkness. All the faculties of his soul, his mind, his will, his affections, wrapped up in darkness, totally depraved. That's what happened to man's reasoning capacity. And thinking with all the philosophy of this world, and all the secular reason, that they are the wise men. You go to a university, and they're going to pump you full with the philosophy of this world. And they think they're the wise one. And they profess to be wise. And they're the ones that are fools. They became morons, according to the original language. Because there is no understanding of anything in this universe if it's different than the meaning God has placed on it. The only true understanding is the meaning God gave to this universe, the meaning God gave to all facts, and there is no true meaning outside of that. And try as you may to give new meaning, to give a different meaning to what God has given, is nothing but futile reasoning. Futile reasoning. Why do people so vehemently deny the knowledge of God that they already possess? Why are they so upset when you mention such things as intelligent design, which is taboo in science? They get irate. Why is it that they have to suppress this? And it takes us back to the beginning of our message. Because it brings man face to face with his Creator. And his Creator is a righteous, holy, and just God. And he's condemned in his sin. And that man cannot handle. Because man loves darkness more than light. Because the light exposes him who he really is before all and before his own self-consciousness. Finally, man's reaction to the revelation of God is found in verses 22 through 33. And very briefly, we find that man invents false religion in verse 23 and changes the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. Man's response and reaction against this sure knowledge of God is to change the knowledge of God into the glory of God and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. It's to exchange
the truth of God, we're told in verse 25, for the lie. And to live in self-deception, to live in the lie. And then it results, we find, in gross immorality, homosexuality and so forth, ultimately where this suppressing the truth will lead to. And then we have this terrible catalog of sin that has totally destroyed the fiber of society in man's rebellion against God. And there's this catalog from 29 to 31 just lists these terrible sins. This is the reaction of God, a reaction of man to God's clear revelation to him. Sinful man is actively and constantly and deliberately suppressing the truth of God. And he will seek to define and interpret reality according to his own standards. And he's buried in this self-deception. But try as he may, it is impossible for you to escape the knowledge of God. Did Bertrand Russell and Richard Dawkins have an valid excuse on the day of judgment? Will this be their excuse? Will it stand? You hid yourself from me. Paul is very clear. They are without excuse. God has not hidden himself from us. On the contrary, he has clearly revealed himself. But this knowledge that God has revealed to man, we call a general knowledge. This is a knowledge of the existence of God. This is a knowledge of the divine attributes and the character and nature of God. But this general revelation in his creation does not point us to Christ. That takes the gospel, the special revelation of God in Scripture. And if you've come to this conclusion and be honest with God of who you really are, then I point you to Christ. Because your only hope is in Jesus Christ. The only way for you to be forgiven of your sin is that the guilt of your sin be transferred to Him and He suffer and die on the cross and endure the wrath of God, the infinite wrath of God for your sin. But you still won't stand before God by just being forgiven. You have to have the perfect righteousness of Christ. Christ is the God-man who walked this earth in perfect compliance to the law. Perfect keeping of God's moral law. That is yours through faith. And you stand before God righteous. This is what it is to trust in Christ. To apprehend the person and work of Christ, grab onto it and make Him your own. It's like you're drowning in a sea of sin and you hold up your hand. You apprehend Christ. Someone pulls you up out. You apprehend Christ. God has provided a way that you might be saved. A way that you would be delivered from this sin. A way that you would be delivered from the bondage of sin, and that power that it has over your life is broken. God changes your life. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Turn from your wicked ways of this world, a way of constantly suppressing the knowledge of God, a way of constantly trying to escape the judgment of God. Turn from that wicked way and turn to Christ and trust Him. Him alone is there hope for you. Our gracious